Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that regardless of the things that we encounter, that Father, we're not alone, that you are with us, that you are faithful. And Father, when we are weak, you provide the strength and the grace that we need. Thank you for meeting us at our point of need and seeing us through. God, this morning, we just praise you for who you are, for all that you do. God, we pray that as we open your word, that your word will be alive and active. God, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you will change us from the inside out. And Father, we ask these things in the most precious name that we know. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Woman was visiting some people who lived on a farm, and she noticed that there was a pig limping in the backyard, and the pig had a wooden leg. And so she asked the farmer, she said, what happened to the pig? And the farmer said, well, Betsy is a wonderful pig. So one night our house caught fire, and she oinked so loud that she woke us up. We were able to get a hold of the fire truck. They got there, put the fire out, so it saved our house. And so this woman said, well, that's really something. That must be some pig. Farmer said, well, that's not all. So one day my youngest child fell into the pond and was drowning, and Betsy started oinking so loud we realized what was happening. We were able to pull our daughter out of the pond safely. It was amazing. The lady said, well, you've got a special pig, said, but what's with the wooden leg? I don't understand that. And the farmer said, well, when you've got a pig that special, you don't want to eat her all at once. Evidently, gratitude didn't run very deep for this three-legged hero. As we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, the question that we need to consider is this. How deep does your gratitude run for God? Do you regularly express your gratitude for the many blessings that you receive from God, or do you take God's blessings for granted? The psalmist instructs us, Psalm 118:1. He says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And church, I've discovered that I take far too many of God's blessings for granted. Let me share with you two marks of an ungrateful heart. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to do an inventory of your heart this morning. The first mark of an ungrateful heart is when we receive from God's hand daily blessings without ever giving thought as to where those blessings come from. In God's mercies, they are new each and every morning. 2020 has been a terribly challenging year. And yet life and friends and food and clothing, the kindness of others, a job to go to, money enough to meet our needs, all of it comes every day. And it comes from God. And I'm afraid that we receive all that God has given, but we don't stop to acknowledge the giver of those gifts. Our gratitude for God, our gratitude should run deeper than that. The second sign of ungratefulness is when we grumble about what we don't have. If we have manna, we wish we had quail. If we have cereal, we wish we had an omelet. If we have $100, we wish that we had $500. Or if we have $1,000, we grumble that we don't have $5,000. We always want something different. If we're young, we want to be older. If we're old, we wish we were younger. If it's old, we want something newer. If it's new, it's still not good enough. We want something better. If it's small, something bigger. Never satisfied. If we have a job, we dream of a better job. We want a bigger office. We want a better boss, better benefits. If we're single, we dream of being married. If you're married, I'll let you finish that sentence. But the problem is that many of us are ungrateful. And the issue is that our gratitude for God, it simply does not run very deep. And I know that because we receive from God's hand daily blessings, and we don't stop to think about where those blessings come from. And I know that because we grumble about what we don't have. And church, one of the things that concerns me is that it seems God's faithfulness often goes unappreciated. God's presence, it is so regular. His presence is so commonplace that we tend to overlook the very quality that separates him from all others. And this morning, as we focus on Thanksgiving, We understand that gratitude is our proper response towards the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Thanksgiving is a celebration to express our praise to God for all that He is and for all that He does. I was reading this week the story of the prodigal, and regrettably, I can identify with the ingratitude of the older brother in this parable. I know you're familiar with the story in Luke chapter 15. Jesus told this story about a man who had two sons. The younger son went to his father and he said, "Father, I want right now what's coming to me." And so the father, he divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and he left for the distant country. And once there, undisciplined, he wasted everything he had. And after he had gone through all of his money, there was a famine. Famine throughout the country, and he began to hurt. In fact, he was so hungry that he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. Eventually, this young son came to his senses, and he said, "You know, all the farmhands working for my father, they sit down for 3 meals a day. And here I am starving to death. I'm going to go back to my father." And the scripture says when he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and with his heart pounding, the father ran to his son and embraced him. The son started to say what he had rehearsed in his mind, "Father, I have sinned against you and against God. Father, I don't deserve to be called your son ever again." But the father wasn't listening. The father called to the servants. He said, "Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. We're going to celebrate with a great feast. My son who was given up for dead is now alive, and he has returned home." All this time, the older son was out in the field, and when the day's work was over and he returned home, as he approached the house, he heard the music. He heard folks excited. He knew there was dancing, and so he asked what was going on. And he was told, "Your brother has returned home. Your father has ordered a feast because your younger brother is home safe and sound." But the older brother was angry. The older brother refused to join in. His father came out and tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't listen. The older son said, "Do you realize how many years I have been faithful, how many years I've stayed here serving you? I've never given you one moment of grief, and yet you have never thrown a party for me and my friends. And then this son of yours, the son who has thrown away your money, he shows up and you go all out and throw this huge feast." The father said, "Son, you don't understand. Son, you were with me all the time. Everything that is mine is yours, but this is a wonderful time, and we must celebrate. This brother of yours was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. On this particular day of Thanksgiving, every chair around the table was filled except one, and it was the chair that belonged to the older brother. The vacant chair belonged to the good boy who minded his own business." You know, you would think that there would have followed a heartfelt reunion of two brothers. But that wasn't the case. While the younger brother ran off to live with reckless irresponsibility, who was it that bore the brunt of responsibility around the farm? It was Big Brother. The older brother questioned. He said, how could their father throw a party for his son who had shamed him and treated him so shamefully, wasted his inheritance? It was more than the older brother could stand. He refused to celebrate. He refused to welcome back his brother. And when the father stepped out to urge his older son to join them at the table, like a dam that gives way, the older son breaks loose with great emotion, all the feelings that he has held back for so long. Out comes resentment toward his dad for not giving him such treatment. He is embittered by his brother's unbridled passions and wasted living. He is frustrated that he will once again have to share the farm with his younger brother. But folks, there is an underlying question. And the question, as I've read this text all week, is how can such a blessed person become so extremely ungrateful? I mean, if anyone should have been absolutely contented, shouldn't it have been the older brother? In fact, one of the takeaways from this story is that our doing all the right things, Our possessing the benefits of estate living, those are not guarantees of a grateful heart. The truth is that while many of us remain in the Father's house, even though we try to do all the right things, we still can have a heart that is ungrateful to God. And so I would encourage you to think about that this morning. We receive from God's hand daily blessings without ever giving thought as to where they come from. We grumble about what we don't have. Looking at the exchange between the father and the older brother, we discover some things that point to a heart that is plagued with thanklessness. In Luke chapter 15, verse 29, the older son said, "Look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends." Church, I believe this statement uncovers much of the reason why this brother lacked joy. It appears that the older brother marks time. It appears that he tracks behavior, and he feels entitled. The father reminds his oldest son in verse 31. He said, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours." I want you to see that the older brother had everything, and yet he still felt he needed something more. Friend, plenty of us, we miss our share of happiness, not because we haven't found it, but we miss it because we haven't stopped to enjoy it. The father had to remind his oldest son. He said, "Son, you are always with me." The older boy had taken this for granted. He had lived on the father's farm, but he had failed to learn the father's heart. And as a result, he couldn't understand, nor could he share in his father's joy. I think the problem for many of us is that while we have remained in the Father's house, our gratitude for God doesn't run very deep. So if you ask, well, what's the solution? Well, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Paul gives some wise instruction that we need to consider. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Paul instructs us, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, friend, I must tell you that these commands apply to every Christian. Every Christian in every situation. The original language makes this very clear. These imperatives are present tense. You could translate it like this: continually rejoice, continually pray, continually give thanks. And I think you would agree with me, that is a great challenge, isn't it? Because there are times when we're going through things, it's hard. It's hard to express gratitude. We would have no problem if the text said, rejoice sometimes, pray occasionally, and give thanks when you feel like it. We'd say, hey, I got no issue with that. I think it's the modifiers in that verse that trip us up. Always, continually, in all circumstances. Let me tell you the real impact of the gospel. The real impact is going to be seen when we don't feel joyful. The real impact is going to be seen when we don't want to pray, and when we can't think of a reason to be thankful. Folks, that's when we discover if our relationship with Christ is the genuine article, or whether it is a spiritual counterfeit. These simple commands, they reveal the true life-changing power of Jesus Christ. You see, when Christ enters a life, he changes us from the inside out so that we have both the power and the desire to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks, even in the most difficult moments of life. I want us to look at these orders of the gospel. Paul said, rejoice always. The Message translation says, be cheerful no matter what. The Holman says, rejoice always. Have you ever noticed that some Christians seem to feel like they have this sacred duty of always being gloom and doom? Do you know anybody like that? I mean, they're like dill pickle Christians. They're always sour. They think smiling is a sin, laughter an abomination. Folks, God has laid no embargo upon rejoicing. We need to pray for a new appreciation of all that God has done for us. If only we had eyes to see, we would find reasons to rejoice everywhere. Rejoice always. And the second order is to pray without ceasing. The Message says pray all the time. J.B. Phillips said, never stop praying. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? To pray without ceasing means praying often. It means praying in a deliberate fashion. Praying without ceasing means that we remain in a state where we can pray all the time, everywhere, and about everything. Friend, we are to pray consciously, deliberately, repeatedly, persistently. As we face each new challenge of the day, what I've discovered is that when we invite God into our daily agenda, there is peace to be found. When we include God, there is strength that He provides. We know that the Lord is guiding us and that He's helping us along the way. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And the third command that will help our gratitude run deeper is that we are to be thankful in every circumstance. The Living Translation says, be thankful in all circumstances. We know that we should give thanks when things are going well. But if we only give thanks when we have money in the bank, when our marriage is good, when our career is sailing along, if we only give thanks when the church is growing and our friends are glad to see us, if that's the only time we give thanks, then what are we going to do when trouble comes? What are we going to do when difficulty knocks on our door? What will we do when our company downsizes and we're out of a job? Or our marriage collapses, or when the cancer returns, or our friends betray us. In those hard moments, we must return to God, whose love for us does not change. How can we be thankful in all circumstances? Church, we must give thanks that God is in control, and He causes all things to work together for good for His children. We give thanks that God is faithful even when we are faithless. That the hard times that we endure, they reveal our weakness. They break us of pride, and they show us our total need for God. We give thanks that God has triumphed over sin and death through His Son, Jesus Christ. We give thanks that God's Word does not return void, that God's promises are true, that evil will not reign forever. Church, we give thanks that heaven is real. We give thanks that when we are weak, He is strong. That His grace is sufficient for every situation. We give thanks that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We give thanks that there is no pit so deep that the love of God is not deeper still. That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. We give thanks that even when we feel alone, we know that we're not alone. We give thanks that God uses everything and He wastes nothing. That our doubts cannot cancel God's work in us. We give thanks that someday God is going to completely conform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That God is faithful to finish His work in us. That our hardships equip us to minister to others. That we are invited to come boldly to His throne of grace. We give thanks that God's plan far exceeds our puny imagination. We give thanks that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And that while we suffer outwardly, we know that we're being renewed inwardly. Church, in Christ, we have so much to be grateful for. Eugene Peterson captures the meaning of verse 18 this way. He says, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Friend, we'll never be able to give thanks always without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I don't mean to suggest that it's easy, but I do believe that it is absolutely necessary. That final phrase of our text answers a great question. What is the will of God for your life? Well, I can tell you, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, God's will is for you and I to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Friend, that is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let me give you 3 points of application, 3 actions to apply to your life. Number one, if you want your gratitude to run deep, acknowledge that everything you have is from God. That's the first thing I would challenge you to do. Friend, we need to remember that everything we have is God's. It's not ours. Psalm 24:1 sums it up this way. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Acknowledging God as our provider reminds us that everything we have received from God. And we owe Him thanks. We are to be stewards of what he has blessed us with. We must acknowledge that everything we have is from God. The second point of action, if you want your gratitude to run deep, is to avoid complaining. In fact, I want to challenge you to fast for a month from complaining. Could you do that? Could you go 30 days without complaining? I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. I realized people have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't make situations better. What does it do? Complaining amplifies frustration. Complaining spreads discord. It creates an opportunity for the enemy to wreak havoc with our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. It is the arch enemy of thanksgiving. And so I challenge you to quit complaining for an entire month. Just try it. When you feel yourself beginning to complain, I would urge you to give God a praise, to file a praise instead. And then one last thing, if you want your gratitude to run deep, develop the daily discipline of giving thanks. If we are going to be thankful people, we need to give thanks every day. We need to discipline ourselves to find something each day that we should be thankful for and then properly express our thanks to God. I think as parents, it would be a great activity to do with our children or our grandchildren. Just to sit down and might create a journal. And every day, just write down one thing that I'm thankful for. One thing that your child is grateful for. Giving thanks. Expressing our gratitude to God. It must become a daily discipline for all of us. Did you know that if you own a Bible, that you are abundantly blessed because there are a third of the people in the world today who have no access to the Scriptures? Did you know that if you have never experienced the pain of starvation, that you are more fortunate than 500 million people on earth right now who are hungry? Did you know that if you have food in your refrigerator and clothes on your back and a roof over your head and $20 in your pocket and a place to sleep tonight? Did you know that you are richer than 75% of the people who live in this world? If you want your gratitude to God to run deep, develop the daily discipline of giving thanks. Friend, we must joyfully express our thanksgiving to the God who heals our hearts, the God who changes our lives forever. A missionary met a leper on a mission trip to the island of Tobago. And on the final day, the missionary was leading worship in this leper colony. And he asked if anyone had a favorite song. No sooner were those words out of his mouth than a woman turned around and he saw the most disfigured face that he had ever seen. This woman had no ears, no nose, her lips completely gone. This woman raised a fingerless hand and she asked the missionary, she said, "Can we sing the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings?" The missionary started to sing the song, but he couldn't finish. Someone later commented, they said, I suppose you'll never sing that song again. I suppose you'll never be able to sing that song. And the missionary said, "Oh yes, I'll sing it again, but I'll never sing it the same way. I'll be grateful." Church, we must joyfully express our thanksgiving to the Lord. If you haven't made the decision to trust Christ, I urge you to do so today. Listen, friend, what God did for us through His Son Jesus, it is the greatest example of love in the history of the world. Romans 5:8 says, "While we were still sinners, when we least deserved it, when we were living our own way outside of God's plan, while we were separated from Him because of our sin, Christ died for us." What did He do? God sent Jesus to die in our place. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. You say, "Jason, what does it mean to be forgiven by God?" It means that God will not hold our sin against us. It means that you are adopted into His family. The gospel says salvation, it is not by works, but we are adopted into God's family by faith. The Bible teaches that we are made right with God not by doing good deeds. No, we are made right with God by His grace through faith. And for some of you today, it's time to put your faith, it's time to put your trust in God. Today is the day for you to believe that because of Jesus' life, his death and resurrection, that you can be made right with him. If you would say this morning, I need God's grace. I need this forgiveness. I need to experience this love that you speak of. If that is your desire, and friend, right where you are, you just pray. Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me so that I can live for you. Jesus, I want to follow you the rest of my days. Help me as I turn away from sin and self, and I turn to you. Jesus, I surrender my life to you right now. Friend, the Bible teaches that you shouldn't keep your faith in Christ a secret. Your salvation is too good to keep to yourself. And so I would invite you to come and share with the Friendship family your decision to follow Jesus. If you're watching online today and you've made a commitment to Christ, I encourage you just type in the comments, today I surrendered my life to Jesus. One of our pastors will be reaching out to you shortly. We want to provide each of you with the resources that you will need to grow in your new relationship with Christ. As important as it is to believe, it's also important that we have a place where we belong. I'm talking about a place where we're encouraged, a place where we're equipped, a place that we can engage with others and study the Scripture. Friend, if God's leading you to be a part of this church family, then we invite you to come and make that connection today. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you're faithful. God, that you're always there for us. And we acknowledge that, God, so many times our hearts are full of ingratitude. We receive blessings every day and we fail to stop and consider where they come from. And God, we complain. We complain about what we don't have. We complain about what others do have. God, you have blessed us in so many ways. Lord, I pray that you would help us to acknowledge the gifts, the blessings that you provide. Lord, I pray that our hearts this morning would just be overflowing with thanksgiving and gratitude. Lord, even in the darkest of times, Lord, we know that you're with us. And for that we're grateful. God, I pray this morning that you would meet us at our point of need, wherever that is, whatever that looks like. God, meet us at our point of need. May we find that your grace is sufficient. And Father, for those here who don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that today they would confess their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and they would find life everlasting. Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you if